The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Awesome day to celebrate fathers, and I appreciate my family. We are going to get together this afternoon and celebrate my day. I appreciate that. I'm not ashamed of that. You know, I love it. Bring it on. Praise God. We need to always celebrate one another. Amen. We need to celebrate fathers. We need to celebrate mothers. We need to celebrate children. We need to celebrate one another. Life is all about family, as far as I'm concerned. And family, part of family, is our church family. We're all part of the body of Christ. We're all one big family in Jesus' name. So today, we're not only celebrating fathers, but we're celebrating our Father, our Heavenly Father, as we come together. We're going to talk today about honor your father. And as we talk about honoring our father, it's very important that we have the right perspective. Now, some of you may or may not have had a good relationship with your father. And honoring your father really doesn't have anything to do with whether you had a good relationship with him. The scripture tells us to honor our father and mother. Now, it's always nice, it's always helpful to have a wonderful relationship with your parents. But I know that's not the case for everyone. However, God calls us to honor our parents no matter what. And that doesn't mean that you have to like the way they treated you or the things that they did while you were growing up. But it does mean that you have a responsibility to honor them by recognizing that they are your parents, and today he is your father. Praise God. Amen. It was a family who the children wanted a dog, and we all know how that goes. Children, they like to have animals, and they'll promise you anything, right? Yes, I will take care. I'll feed him. I'll water him. I'll walk him. I'll do whatever it takes. Well, that's what the children told the mother, three kids. We will take care of our dog. And they named the dog Danny. Well, that lasted for about a month. I'm getting a lot of echo, guys. Is there anything we can do about that? You got? Are you hearing that? Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you. That's a little better. Anyhow, Danny. They named the dog Danny, and Danny was being taken care of by the kids for about a month, and then Mom had to start taking care of Danny. She had to start feeding him, watering him. She had to take him for walks, make sure he went outside when he needed to, all those things. And Mom, it didn't take very long. About 3 months into this thing, Mom said, "That's it. I'm not doing this anymore." She called all the kids together, set them down, and she said, "I just want everybody to know that I'm fed up. Danny has to go." And all the kids started crying. The youngest one said, "Can we give him one more chance?" The other one, the middle one, said, "You know, I know he eats a lot, but maybe if he didn't eat so much, we could keep him." The third one, the oldest one, said, "I know he's really messy, Mom, but, you know, we will pick up after him. Will you give him one more chance?" Mom said, "No, that's it. Danny has to go." And all the kids brightened up and started wailing, "Danny, we thought you said Daddy." "Daddy has to go." Well, sometimes Daddy can be messy. Sometimes Daddy can eat a lot. Sometimes daddy doesn't do everything that daddy needs to do. But praise God, he's still daddy. And we want to honor and respect daddy today. So there's three things that I want to share with you this morning about honoring our father. How can we honor our father? Exodus 20:12 tells us, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So here we see there's a promise that goes along with honoring our father and our mother, and how important it is for us to recognize this commandment that we are to honor. And today we're honoring our father. So the first thing I'd like to say to you about honoring your father is speak life to your father. Proverbs, I don't care what kind of relationship you had with him, but speak life to him. And those of you who are fathers in here, I want to encourage you, speak life into your children. Proverbs 18:21, we're all very familiar with this scripture. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So if you love the power of the tongue, you will speak good things and you'll eat good, delectable, wonderful, ripe fruit. If you do not understand this, you will speak death and you will bring nasty, gnarly, rotten fruit into life of people. So the scripture tells us you can eat the fruit, whatever fruit it is that you want, you can eat it by speaking the right thing or the wrong thing. So I would encourage you this morning, tell your daddy you love him. Just let him know. I know sometimes we think, he's a man, he doesn't need to hear that. But he does. He needs it just as much as anyone. He needs to hear that you love him, that you care about him, that he's special to you. In 2004, a doctor, Emoto, wrote a book, and his book was The Hidden Message in Water. Now, his book is very controversial, and mainline science says he's a pseudoscientist. But I can tell you this, what I know about mainline science is if you do not line up with their expectations of what is acceptable, you're going to be an outcast. There are thousands of scientists who do not believe in evolution. You hear very little from them because they are silenced by the mainline scientific community. They're not allowed to speak out about what they don't get to publish their papers. They don't get to do the things that are necessary to get the word out that they do not believe in evolution. But the evolutionists have a hold on the narrative. And the narrative goes forth the way they want it to because it fits into their design for society. And let me tell you, their design for society is to control and disrupt and destroy the family. That's their design for society. They want us all to be a collective and serve them. Praise God. You guys are really silent this morning. Anyhow, Dr. Emoto published his book, and in his book, he showed the results of his experiments. And his experiments was, one of the things that he did was with water, he would take glasses of water, and he would speak positive things over those glasses of water. You're beautiful, you're wonderful, you're refreshing. And then he would take another glass of water or container of water, and he would speak nasty, evil. You're ugly. You're nasty. You're horrible. You know, just over and over. Every day they did this for many days. And then they would freeze that water, and they would take the ice crystals and slice it and look at it through a microscope to see what the crystals looked like. And the water that was spoken over positively, the crystals were beautiful, well-formed, and really nice. The water that was spoken over in a nasty way, the crystals were gnarly looking and just nasty. did not look very good. So from his perspective, and this was his results and his opinion, and that is that the words that you speak, even in our day-to-day life, as we go about our life, whatever you are speaking has the power of life and death in it. You know, I've heard for years people say that, you know, I speak to my plants. And I've heard them people say, you know, I really believe them. My plants respond to my positive words. I don't know. I need to go out and speak to my tomatoes right now. They don't look very good. I don't know what happened. I put horse manure on them. I think I killed them with that. First time I've ever done that. But anyhow, I need to speak over my plants. Help. Produce. I want tomatoes. I love cherry tomatoes. I put out cherry tomatoes. Hallelujah. I'm going to have cherry tomatoes. Speak life to them. Amen. Children, I want to share with you. Love your fathers. Tell them you love them. But fathers, model that for your children as well. Love your children. Love your spouse. Galatians 5:22 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. 23, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. What a powerful scripture that is. Notice the scripture references fruit, one fruit. One fruit, many flavors. Now, I don't believe that it's a coincidence that the Holy Spirit listed love first. Because love is so powerful. The word there, the Greek word is agape. It means the God kind of love. Unconditional love. And without it, I believe the other flavors would be very sour. It has to be, everything has to be connected to love. With that in mind, let me share this little thought with you. It's in reference to Galatians 5:22. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Long-suffering is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self-forgetfulness. Self-control is love holding the reins. It's all tied to love. Tell your daddy you love him. He's been there. In most cases, he's been there protecting you when you didn't even know it sometimes. He strived, you know. I know with my children growing up, they didn't always agree with everything that I told them or I expected of them. But today, I believe that they have a great deal of respect for me. Not that they always agree with me. They still disagree. I mean, I'm an old-fashioned guy, so they're going to disagree with me about some things. But they know that Daddy loves them and cares about them. In certain Native American cultures, many years ago, they had a rite of passage for their young men. They would take a 13-year-old boy, just turned 13, they would take him out into the woods, deep into the woods, and they would put a blindfold over him. And they would do this in the evening. They put a blindfold over him, and they'd set him down, and they would tell him, you have to stay here until tomorrow morning. We're going back to the village, and you have to stay here by yourself till tomorrow morning. All the elders would leave and go back to their village. And that young man, 13 years old, had to sit there all night long listening to the different sounds and the wails and the calls and the howls of the animals all around him. He wasn't allowed to take that blindfold off until the next morning. When the sun came up, as soon as he felt the sun on his body, he was able to take the blindfold off. And when he took the blindfold off, what he saw sitting across from him was his father, who had been there all night watching over him, keeping him and protecting him. Awesome example of what fathers are all about, keeping and watching and protecting. Tell your daddy you love him. He needs it. Choose a good name. Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. If we love our fathers, I think it's really important that we uphold our family name. As a father, I'm very proud of my children and my grandchildren when they're God-fearing, honest, hardworking, dependable people. You know, that's upholding the family name. And other people recognize that, and it makes me very proud. This is a way that we honor our parents. We choose the family name. We choose to uphold the things that are important in our society. Tammy's dad, when they were all growing up, and they would encounter somebody in the community, and they would talk to them, and they would come back and tell their dad that they met so-and-so, he would always say to them, did you tell them you were a bar? It was that important to him, because he knew that people had respect for him and they would respect his children as well. Fathers, you got to set the example for this. Children are going to follow your lead. They're going to do things to uphold the family name and choose a good name if you're setting that example for them. My dad was not a perfect man by any means, but he was a godly man, a good man, and he had a good name in the community. I didn't always uphold that name the way I should, but praise God, things changed in everybody's life, and I'm doing my best to uphold my father's name. I'm choosing a good name now. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Choose life so that everyone can benefit from it. Dr. James Dobson, in his book, Coming Home, tells a story about Bill Havens. Bill Haven was a canoer. He loved to canoe, and he was very good at it. In fact, for the 1924 Olympics, he was chosen to be a representative of the canoeing team. He actually was expected to win the gold medal. Everybody knew that he was top-notch and that he would probably bring home the gold medal. The Olympics were held in Paris that year. And the problem was for Bill was that just several months before the Olympics, he found out that his wife was pregnant for their first child. Bill was torn. He wanted to be there when his child was born, but he wanted to go to the Olympics. He had trained hard, and he had expectations of doing his best there, hopefully bring back a gold medal. But his son was going to be born while he was gone. Bill chose to stay and watch his son born, come into this world. What a sacrifice that man made. Well, the boy started to grow, and Bill poured his life into him. He taught him everything he knew, including canoeing, and the boy came to know and love canoeing very well. 24 years later, 1948, the Olympic Games were held in Helsinki, Finland. This time, Frank Haven, Bill's son, was chosen to represent the United States at the Olympics. Bill went, and just a few days after the telegram, Bill received a telegram from his son that read, Dear Dad, thanks for waiting around for me to be born in 1924. I'm coming home with the gold medal that you should have won. And it was signed his son, Frank. Awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. We do make sacrifices, but I want you to know those sacrifices are worth it. Your dad probably made some sacrifices for you that you don't even realize. Tell him how much you love him and you respect that. Last thing I want to share with you is obey and respect. Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing with the Lord. Walk in obedience to your father. You sometimes may disagree with him, but the scripture is very clear that we're to obey our fathers. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, or chapter 3, verse 2. For men will be lovers, we're talking about the last days now, which I believe we're living in. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Children, if we want to be righteous and holy before the Lord, we'll obey our parents. And fathers, it's important that you spend some time with your children. Kids spell love, T-I-M-E. They need some time. On April the 6th, 30 years ago, an issue of the Wall Street Journal reported that on the average, the amount of time that fathers spend intimate time with their children is on the average of 17 seconds per day. Do you think it's gotten any better? I doubt it. In fact, with these days with devices and social media, I would say it's probably even worse than that. As I was sitting there studying for this lesson, my grandsons, Marshall and Owen, were at my house. Owen had stayed up late, and for 3 hours, he said he was laying on the couch asleep. Marshall took a little nap, and then when he wasn't napping, he was playing on his device. And I thought to myself, and I was studying, I needed the time, but I thought to myself, wow, you know, that's how this happens. We get busy. We have our own agenda. We have things that we have to accomplish. Our kids have their own ways and own devices and desires to do things. And look how it separates the family. If we're not actively pursuing a relationship with our children, we're going to lose them. I have to actively pursue a relationship with my grandsons. Sometimes that means, come on, boys, we're going outside and we're going to work a little bit together. We're going to spend some time. You think they're happy about that? No, usually not. But hopefully they'll appreciate sometime down the road that Papaw really did have their best interest at heart. I really did love them and care for them. Fathers, we make sacrifices for our children. All I can ask you to do is evaluate the choices that you're making. Think about it. I know work is important, getting things done around the house is important, but 17 seconds a day of communication with our children? That was 30 years ago. That's horrible. We're missing the mark. We got to work on this. Children, you have a responsibility in this as well. Stop hiding out in your devices. I say this and I look back and see our teenagers back there looking at their devices. Stop hiding in your devices. Adults, teenagers, come on. We're hiding in a lot of things. Let's take the time to have relationship with one another. I love the story, and I love to tell this story. I heard Harmon Killebrew, who was a Hall of Fame baseball player, and he loved to tell the story about his family and his dad, who worked hard every day. But his dad would come home, and in the evenings, they would go out in the yard, and they'd play baseball together. And his mom would come out on the porch, and she would say, "Dear, you're killing the grass." And his dad would always respond, "Dear, we're not raising grass, we're raising boys." How important is that? Isn't that awesome? Let's get our perspective. It's not about grass, and I have a bunch of grass to mow, but sometimes I spend too much time doing things that's not important. I want to do things that are important to my grandsons, spending some time with them. I'm going to wrap this message up this morning with this. The National Center for Fathers, for Fathering conducts a Father of the Year contest every year, and they choose kids write in, and they choose for on different age levels, they choose the winners. And I just want to share with you a little bit some of the things that was said. First grader, my dad is the best dad ever. I would kiss a pig for him. Another first grader, my dad is a Frito-Lay man. That is an important job because Frito-Lay means chips, which is food. That is so important because you could not live without food. A third grader, my dad in my life isn't really my dad. This one's heart-gripping. He's my grandpa, but he's been like a dad to me since before I was born. I hope that as I get older, Grandpa will teach me all the stuff he knows about wood and first aid and everything else he knows. My grandpa isn't my father, but I wouldn't trade him for all the dads in the world. Fourth grader, sometimes, as a joke, I put my stinky socks in his briefcase so that at work the next day, he will think about me. He's always at my concerts and plays, and he never misses them. Fifth grader, you know what else my dad does? He braids my hair. I'm the only girl I know whose dad braids her hair. I think that's a perfect dad. He already is the world's greatest dad to me. I just want everybody to know that. A sixth grader, one time at an assembly, and I was a soloist, and my dad was in the first row. And after my song, my dad smiled. And I smiled back. My dad started crying. That was the best thing I ever saw. Wow. Kids have some good ways of communicating their love and their respect for their parents. I hope that what I've shared with you this morning will mean something for all of us. I know sometimes on Father's Day, I've recognized this, that on Mother's Day, we praise our mothers and we give them all kind of accolades and say wonderful things about them. And then we bring the fathers in on Father's Day and scold them. And I really didn't want to do that today. I want you to feel good when you leave this place. This is a Father's Day celebration, and I want you to go out knowing that your children love you, respect you, and look up to you. Stand with me. Hallelujah. We're going to have a prayer, and then we will end our streaming service. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your blessing of fathers. Touch each and every one of us, Father. We miss the mark. We fall short. We're not everything that we always should be, but you're still our Heavenly Father, and we put our trust in you. Touch our hearts and minds and help us to always recognize that you are God and we're just an earthly father here. We do miss the mark, but as we strive to do what is right, you make up the difference. And we thank you for touching and being with each and every father this morning, whether they're listening online or they're here this morning. Bless them, direct them, stir them up, Father God, to be the kind of father you want them to be. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening. Hallelujah. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message, because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.